So in Matthew 28, Jesus giving us the Great Commission, as we're all very familiar with, but of course attaching to it this amazing promise about his power. Notice verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All power. That'll be our title today. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege of assembling here around Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the freedom to do so. Lord, so many around the world have to do it secretly in fear of literal death. I pray, Lord, we would constantly avail ourselves of this privilege and assemble in your name when we can, that we might hear from your precious word, and pray the Holy Spirit would take it now today and teach and grow us. Please have your will in every heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus emphasizing here in this beginning his deity. Amen. You probably noticed there in verse 17 that they worshiped him. Jesus always accepted worship. We find in scriptures the angels always rejected worship when people were allowed to go to heaven like John and get a glimpse. They always rejected worship. Jesus Christ always accepted worship because he is God. And only God can be worshiped. And yet, after the resurrection, he's died, he's come back from the dead, he has spent time with his disciples, verse 17, some doubted. Some doubted. And so, shall we be surprised that there's so many today who reject the notion that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again and offers them eternal life when they actually saw the physical resurrected Jesus and yet still doubt it? Aren't you thankful that you didn't doubt when you heard the gospel and you heard that God loved you enough to die for you and rise again and give you eternal life, and you trusted that and believed it and got saved? Didn't doubt. Didn't doubt that God could save you. Didn't doubt that salvation was real. Doubting is the one thing that hinders answered prayer. Right? The Bible says, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6. Doubting limits God's answered prayers in our lives. Doubting keeps people from going to heaven. Doubting the truth of the gospel. Doubting what Jesus did. But he tells them in verse 18, all power. That's our title today. This is the foundation upon which the entire commission is based, is that Jesus is God. And that Jesus has all power. And so when he tells us to go, he says, I want you to go because I have all power. I want you to go and I will go with you and I have all power. So let's look at some scriptures on this. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, if you would. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. He is the God of heaven. And he is declaring that yet again to his disciples before ascending back to heaven. Here's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It says, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus upholds the whole universe by the word of his power. He has all power. Now look at Revelation chapter 19. And verse 16, where we read about Jesus coming back from heaven to the earth to set up his kingdom. What an exciting time that will be if you're a Christian, because you will be coming back with him. But notice Revelation 19:16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. He is God, and he has all power. And again, that is the foundation, if you go back to Matthew 28, upon which Jesus then gives us what we often refer to as the Great Commission, or our mission as Christians and as churches. Go. Verse 19. But notice he says, ye therefore. So if you see that word therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. It's obviously pointing back to something. And it's pointing back to Jesus' declaration that he has all power. He says, because I have all power, go ye therefore. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Go, because I have all power. And he gave this commission, this mission for the church in every gospel, not just Matthew. But every gospel contains the Great Commission as we refer to it. Let's look at them quickly. Mark 16:15. We'll just walk through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, even in Acts. Mark 16, verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now Luke 24:47. For the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now go to John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Two chapters over, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The last orders he gave to the church before he ascended to heaven here in Acts chapter 1, where Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That's the commission. That's the go. He says, go ye therefore, because I have all power, go. There's nothing to fear. I have all power, go. And what do I want you to do? Go back to Matthew 28:19. Teach all nations. What are we supposed to be teaching them? We're to be teaching them the gospel. Amen? And that is what the disciples set out to do. And by the time the Apostle Paul had been in his ministry for a while, he says in Colossians chapter 1 that the gospel had gone around the world. In just a few decades, the disciples took their commission seriously. If you look at Acts 20, verse 21, we're to be teaching all nations. Why? Because Jesus has all power. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 says, Paul here summarizing his mission, testifying, he says, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Testifying. Testifying about what? Repentance and faith. And then in 2 Timothy 2, if you turn there, verse 25, God here is talking about the servant of the Lord, which is us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 24. The servant of the Lord, that's us, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You see that word instructing? That's the teaching. Who are we instructing? Those that oppose themselves, the lost, the people that need Jesus. We're to be teaching them the beautiful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Why? Because Jesus has all power. Then he tells us, go back there, Matthew 28:19, baptizing them. In the Bible, there were no waiting periods. There were no baptism classes. People got baptized very often the same day they got saved. You say, oh, well, maybe they didn't understand what it all meant. They can find out later. They can figure all that out during the rest of their Christian life. But there was no hesitation. You got saved. You got baptized. That's just the way it worked in the Bible days. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36. There was a man. He was from Ethiopia, and God specifically sent one of the first deacons named Philip to witness to this one man out in the middle of the desert and share the truth of Jesus Christ with him. It wasn't a coincidence that he happened to be reading in Isaiah chapter 53 about the suffering of Jesus. And it says, the verse 35, Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Here in Acts 8, verse 36. Verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If somebody ever tries to argue with you about Bible versions, just take them to Acts 8:37. It's one of my favorite verses to take them to because all the modern Bibles have removed it. Why? Because it teaches that you got to believe before you can be baptized. And a billion people in the world believe you should baptize babies, which isn't in the scriptures. So just take the verse out. Make the Bible more appealing, right? But the point of this is, he heard the gospel from Philip. He believed on Jesus, and he got baptized immediately. And so if you're born again and you're not baptized yet, what are you waiting for? Get baptized. We'll just fill it up. We'll heat it. We've got a baptism right here. Way back in the old days, we had to borrow different churches, and we had to schedule it, and don't have to debt anymore. But if you're saved and not baptized, you need to get baptized. But let's get to the heart of this now, Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, "I have all power, the go ye therefore, and I want you to teach all nations," what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. If they believe on Jesus, I want you to baptize them. But that's not the end of the commission, that's the beginning of the commission. And this last bit, it's actually amazing when you just stop and think about what Jesus said. Teaching them to observe all things. Wow. All things whatsoever I've committed. That's a lot of things. All things. And I put a little note on Facebook this week as I was contemplating this, how the Apostle Paul was only at Ephesus for like 2 years and maybe 3 months. So he's there for 27 months. And yet when he left, if you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 27, I want you to see what he told them there at Ephesus. And it tells me that they definitely had a lot of church services while Paul was at Ephesus. I reckon they probably had church every day. Notice Acts 20, 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Wow. In 2 years and 3 months, how did he pull that off? And like I shared on Facebook this week, I've been preaching in this church for 20 years, going through books every Wednesday night, every Sunday night for 20 years, and I've still only preached half the Old Testament and just over half the New Testament. So it's going to take about 40 years to do all the counsel of God. And yet that is the command, isn't it? Teaching them to observe all things. He told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Just keep preaching the word. Peter, when he wrote his epistle, he said to the pastors, feed the flock. And then if you look at 1 Timothy 3:15, that's an amazing statement about the church. But it brings it into focus when you realize what Jesus' command was in the Great Commission, which is to teach and to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Notice 1 Timothy 3:15, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This is God speaking about the local church, not man. And God calls it the pillar and ground of the truth, the place to be taught. Jesus said, once they get saved, once they get baptized, then I want you to teach them all things. That's a high calling. That's a lot of things. You know, we did that study recently on the commandments. There's 150 commands in the New Testament for us as Christians. That's just the commands. The Bible's a big book. 31,000 verses. That's a lot of verses, isn't it? And so we have a huge responsibility as a church. When we have the privilege of winning someone to Christ, we have a huge responsibility to disciple them, to teach them God's word, make sure they get grounded in their faith. So as it says in Ephesians 4:14, they're not carried about with every wind of doctrine. And trust me, seems like every year something new comes out. I think it was 2 years or 3 years ago, annihilationism came out. I'd never heard of that one before, that hell isn't eternal. And then just this past year or two, this new group running around knocking on doors, calling God a he, she. They call him Zion something or other. It just never ends. It's just going to get worse as we get into the last days. So we have to make sure we know the book, but that we make sure that people that we went to the Lord are being taught the book so that they are grounded in their faith. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're to teach all things. And when it comes to this book, what does he teach us? That we're to go buy a copy and lay it on the table and admire it? Or are we to open it? Amen? And read it. Look at Isaiah 34, verse 16, if you would. We are to be in this book every day. You know, these days we hear so much about accountability. That would be one thing you could ask your Christian brother or sister. If you two want to be accountability partners, just ask them one question every day. Were you in the Word today? Nothing else. Were you in the Word today? And let's hope our answer every day is yes, I was in the Word today. Isaiah 34, 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Amen? Read the book of the Lord. That's a command. We are to be in this book so that we can learn all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's why God commanded us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so that we could be in the book and we could be taught the book and we could have the book preached to us so that we can keep growing in our faith. And so Jesus said, I have all power. I am God. I accept your worship. I'm about to go back to heaven. Gentlemen, we just spent 40 days together. I taught you doctrine. I showed you myself in the Old Testament. I taught you all these things. And let's look at that quickly in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. Jesus took the time to walk them through the scriptures. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, I love that word, unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus took those 40 days with his disciples after his resurrection. He spent that time with them, what? Expounding the scriptures. They did not have behavioral classes. They did not have classes on other things. They just had classes on the book. Amen? He spent 40 days expounding none other than the scriptures. He spent 40 days in Genesis saying, this is me. In Exodus, this is me. In Leviticus, and on, all the scriptures it says concerning himself. So he set the example, didn't he? He took those 40 days and he expounded the scriptures. And then right before he leaves, he pulls them together one last time. And he says, gentlemen, here's your mission. I want you to go. I want you to teach all nations about me. They get saved. I want you to baptize them. And if you baptize them and you assemble them together into a church, I want you to do what I just did. I want you to teach them all things. Whatsoever I've commanded you, I want you to teach them the book. really a pretty simple plan, isn't it? It just takes God's people to do it, because we certainly can't learn all things if we aren't in a place where we can learn all things. So this is our mission as Christians. It's our mission as churches, based on the power, the almighty, infinite power of Jesus Christ. We're to go, we're to baptize them, and then what? Teach them all things. So if you're saved and not baptized, see me. Let's schedule it, even next Sunday. If you are not saved, you need to get saved. Jesus said you must be born again. If you are saved, Jesus gave each of us the responsibility to learn all things. And that's a big task. So put ourselves in a place where we can keep learning the word. And if God gives us the privilege of winning someone to Christ, make sure we ground them in the word. We disciple them in the truths of Scripture, because they are going to get attacked by the cults, and the devil's just going to keep sending people their way to try to confuse them. And of course, they have YouTube, so they can find anything they want on YouTube. Teaching them to observe all things, because Jesus has all power. Amen? All power. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful, beautiful passage, this commission you've given us, and pray, Lord, that we would take it seriously, that we would not only understand our responsibility to teach the lost the gospel, but also understand our responsibility to not forsake our assembling, that we also might be taught all things from your word, that we might grow in our faith. And Lord, I know that if we would do this, we'd be more effective, not only at witnessing, but at serving. So I pray you'd have your will in each of our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here not born again, I pray they'd be born again even today. Someone that's saved, not baptized yet, may they realize there's nothing to wait for. They just need to get baptized. And Lord, those of us that are your children, may we realize the importance of consistently and constantly learning this book, of reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating in it. Thank you. And we love you in Jesus' name.